Hi everyone, good morning. Nice to see you all, and it's a wonderful privilege that I've received to bring the word this morning. And I've been reading from the Gospel of John, and I'm enjoying reading the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John was written by a very ordinary fisherman. And many know that John and his brother James, they wanted to sit at Jesus' right hand and the left hand in his glory. Many disciples were unhappy with them. Then, when the Samaritan village rejected Jesus, John and James wanted to bring fire down from heaven, and they wanted to destroy the village. But later we see, you know, as John followed Jesus, as he had encounter with Jesus and followed him, his heart changed. He got transformed. And we know that he is an apostle of love and the one whom Jesus loved. So whoever you are, whatever you do, whatever condition your heart is in, Jesus can touch your life and your life can be radically transformed. Amen? So my topic this morning is on the power of testimony and its impact of testimony. So John chapter 1 to 42 is the passage that you'll be looking, but I'll be starting from John chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. We see that Jesus, he had to pass through Samaria. He was intentional about going to Samaria because he knew that he's going to meet someone and that woman needed an encounter. So first point, we see that Jesus was intentional about going. And when you want to reach out to someone, you've got to be intentional in taking steps towards them. Then later, verse 5 onwards, it says, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, that is noon, that's the afternoon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. So here we see that Jesus is initiating conversation with this woman. He is talking to this woman. Leaders always initiate conversation. Jesus said, give me a drink. Then later, we see verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So we see that there are two races. There is a Jew and there's Samaritans. And there was great hostility between Jew and Samaritans. There was hatred and there was no trade, there was no dealings between them too. In our culture, it would be caste system, the higher caste, the lower caste. And so in that time, it was Jews and the Samaritans. And we also see women, they were not valued by men. They were not allowed to speak. So most men ill-treated them. They didn't treat them well, and so they were put down all the time. So that's why the woman is saying, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? So Jesus didn't let this barrier be an hindrance from connecting with this woman. He didn't let the cultural difference influence him. In reality, you know, when we meet with people, there are people from different backgrounds, economic status, education, there's language barrier. So when you come across such people, let no barrier hinder you from connecting with such people. It could be anyone from different background, tribe, race, or language. Then, identifying the real need. Jesus identified that this woman was in need of satisfaction, wanted fulfillment and purpose in life. Verse 10 to 15, we see that Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." In reality here, we see that people don't get satisfied with things. The rich always want to become more rich by earning more and earning more than others. All the time, there's an upgrade in the phone, like an iPhone. There's iPhone 10, iPhone X, this MI phone. People want to keep upgrading. They're not satisfied with what they have. So they always keep upgrading. On Facebook, when you post some status or some pics, you want people to like them. But when people don't like them or are not commenting, you feel that you don't feel valued, you don't feel important, you feel rejected. And there are some who struggle with that. And relationships. There are some boyfriends and girlfriends, they can't stick in one relationship. They always want to jump from one to another, and it keeps on rotating. So they're not satisfied in relationships. Some people are addicted to smoking, but it does not satisfy them. They want more and more and more. Some struggle with pornography for temporary pleasure, you know, but that does not satisfy them. Later they end up feeling guilty, but they go back to it and they are not satisfied. So none of these things can satisfy or quench our thirst. In John chapter 4, verse 16 to 19, we see that Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." So we see that this lady, she has had five husbands, and the one she has now is probably a boyfriend. She has gone through rejection several times. She has faced rejection over and over again. There could be rejection from the society. Usually people don't associate with such people, with such women. She has had five husbands, divorced. She has had heartbreaks many times. Jesus still spoke to her, knowing her past life, and he didn't mistreat her or reject her or judge her. A few months back, I was traveling in a rickshaw, and the auto driver, we both were talking. And sooner, I realized that he is an homosexual. He said that I'm a homosexual, and I've been my desire has been like this for men since my childhood. So I still spoke to him, and we were just talking about his family, my family, about his work, and slowly we moved on to the love of God. And I shared my testimony with him, and to my surprise, he said, "I've heard about Jesus before. I've heard about the gospel before." And he told me that people usually don't interact with me when they come to know who I am. So I don't open up to people and I don't talk to them. But I feel good talking to you, and I feel like changing. So there's great power when we talk to people, when we don't judge them or mistreat them, when we share our life with them, when we share our testimony with them. You know, and one day you can pray for him, you know, that for his salvation. And I just prayed for him yesterday. I just remembered him and put him in, put his example in this. And next, we'll see that invitation to worship through relationship with God. Verse 19 to 26. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." We see that this woman's heart was set on places of worship and not on person to worship. External worship. Father is not looking at the external appearance. Worship is not on any mountain or place like Jerusalem, or people may go for a Holy Land tour to Israel. It's not, worship is not that. Many people in the world worship in many different ways. They inflict their bodies, beat their bodies. Some people offer animals. Some people offer humans to God. And some people chant prayers, mindless prayers. Some people want good place, good cathedral, good everything, sound equipment, everything good. But that is not real worship. Worship without relationship with the Father is not worship at all. Father is seeking for worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. Worship in spirit. John chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So when you put your trust and place your faith in Jesus, God fills you with his Holy Spirit. He adopts you into his family. You're filled with his Holy Spirit. And he gives you eternal life, which is the guarantee of, he gives us Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance. Worship in truth. John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." And John chapter 14, verse 10, it says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So we see that Jesus is the word of truth. So when you're worshiping Jesus, worshiping in truth, you worship in spirit and truth. John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son, full of grace and truth." Jesus revealed himself to this woman. Jesus knew her past life, but still he chose to reveal himself. The great I Am reveals to this woman. And she was put down by men, rejected. How amazing is God's love that he chose to reveal to this woman. Later we'll see Jesus modeled to his disciples how to honor women and impact the culture. John chapter 4, verse 27 to 30, it says, "Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, 'What do you seek?' And or 'Why are you talking with her?' So the woman left her water jar, and went away into town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?' They went out of the town and were coming to him." So the disciples were raised in a culture where the women were not honored, were not valued. But here Jesus is showing them an example of how to treat women, to talk to them, and to have conversation with them. Jesus also listened to the woman. You know, Jesus was not the only one who was talking all the time, but the woman was also talking, was listening to the woman. And I want to share one example about Kisan and Nutan. And most of us don't know where they are staying, but they are staying in an area where people are not good. Like, there are people, there have been rapes which has happened there. There are rapists, there are murders, there are murders which has taken place in that area. And Kisan and Nutan live in such a place. There are always fights. I've been to their place. So their daily routine is, they get water supply at one particular time. And all the women, they go at that time to fill the water. So one day they saw Kisan coming in with a bucket, and he filled the water. And all these women, they were astonished. They were saying, "Where is your wife? Why is she not here? Why are you filling up the bucket? Why are you filling up?" So Kisan said, "I want to do it. I want to serve my wife." Then all the ladies there said, "Are you a cow? Domestic cow, like, you know, bail in Hindi we say." So usually cows, they take all the load, the yoke, and they do all the works. So these women told Kisan, "Are you a cow?" And Kisan said, "Yes, I am. I'll do anything for my wife. I'll serve my wife." And so next day, when Kisan comes back, he sees that the men are filling up the water. All the neighbors. So what happened there, all those ladies, the neighborhood, they went and they told their respective husbands, "Look at Kisan. He is serving his wife. He is filling up the bucket. He is doing things at home. Why are you not doing this for us? You also need to do. Learn from him." So all the men lined up in his neighborhood to fill up the water. And so when all the men, they saw him, when they saw Kisan, they were mocking him. And they were just very angry with Kisan. "Because of you, we have to fill this bucket. Because of you, we have to serve." So can you imagine? People are observing. They are observing our lifestyle, what we do, how we treat women, how we talk, how we are with them, how we value them. So our neighborhood, they see us. And this is how we can impact the culture. Amen? And so this is a call to action. Let us see the will of God. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." John chapter 6, verse 38 to 40. It says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." This is the will of the Father. And Jesus came to do the Father's will. He does not want to lose us. He gave us eternal life. If there's anyone who has not believed in Jesus, here's an invitation for you to receive Jesus as your Savior, to receive the Father's love. And to not be afraid. We were singing the song today, "Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me." And He will not lose us. Nothing can snatch us from the Father's hand. Verse 37 and 38. It says, "For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Today, during offering, Meher shared about sowing and reaping. So, sowing is like sharing the word of God, sharing the gospel of salvation to people. And reaping is like leading someone to Christ. There's someone in your, there's always been a person who has shared their testimony with you. And there's always someone who has led you to Christ. It could be your parents, it could be your friends, it could be a colleague, anyone. Someone has shared their testimony, someone has shared the gospel of salvation, and someone has reaped, someone has led you to Christ. Here's an encouragement for us to sow the gospel of seed and to reap, to lead others to Christ. And don't expect immediate results when you sow. It will take time. It's a process. You know, when you sow a seed, it takes months for that crop to grow, to come up. It takes time when you share the word of God with someone. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So, our call is to go out and share the good news with people. And when we share, that is how they will come to know. Because there are many who have not heard about Jesus. There are many who are hopeless. There are many who need salvation. we will see the reaction of the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verse 39 to 42. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." The woman accepted God's love, and she didn't feel judged. She went and told many, many, many people, and many came to Jesus, and they put their faith in Jesus, and they said that he is the Savior of the world. This morning, Lasia read from Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. It says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." When you share your testimony with somebody else, you're prophesying into their life. You are bringing hope into their dead situation. You are introducing them to the Savior. You are introducing them to God's love. And you never know. Some may reject it. Some may receive God's love. And it is so wonderful to hear testimonies this morning. Shoma shared her testimony about healing. And you can share your how God has touched you with somebody else. You have the hope with you. God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a victim into a victory, and a trial into triumph. So our action points are 4 points. Engage with people whom you don't usually meet. They could be from different background, language, caste, education, social status. Second, to have a relationship with the Father and to worship him. Third, to honor and value women and those, to accept those who are generally, people don't treat some people well, to accept them, to talk to them, to respect them. And fourth, to share the gospel of salvation, our testimony of Jesus, what he has done in our lives and how he has transformed us. Amen. And nothing can satisfy us but Jesus. And if there's anyone who needs deliverance, anyone who needs prayers, we are happy to pray with you all. But Jesus is the one true living water who alone can quench our thirst. Amen.